10 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. Daniel?
Brad, he's joining us in our Touchpoints Rehab Interview Chair, and he is a media reporter with the website dailycaller.com.
The
Daily
Caller.
Nick Jeavis. Nick, good morning. Welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning, Nick. Good morning.
Good to be back on with you, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Well, so much to talk about, so much on dailycaller.com. Let's start with this story that was on the website a couple of days ago, Nick, and that's this federal court ruling which guts the police ability to use guns. What's this all about?
Well, it happened in Seattle, and apparently this was a leftover regulation from the Obama administration that said that the police basically had to be met with deadly force or a much higher standard to draw their weapons and then use it while on duty.
What?
And you have one faction on the left saying it's decreasing violence, but then you have the police saying it's restricting their ability to do their jobs.
I can't believe it.
And it's the Ninth Circuit Court of
Appeals,
right?
Yeah, it came from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which a lot of legal minds call the Ninth Circus. So usually when they hand down a legal opinion, a lot of people, right and left, take it with a grain of salt. So I think people should do the same with this ruling.
So, in other words, police departments shouldn't be afraid of this ruling as something that's going to take the weapons out of their hands?
I have a feeling that as it continues to go through the courts that it's going to be overturned. If they keep fighting it, it'll keep going, you know, to appellate courts. But, like I said, the Ninth Circuit is known for being overturned on a variety of issues. It's basically a political pulpit for them. Instead of them interpreting law, they seem to want to make law, which, as we know, is not the job of state Supreme Court justices, or rather federal court judges. But, yeah, I don't think this is going to be something that's here to stay, and the police seem vehemently against it, so I think they're going to keep fighting it until it gets overturned.
Nick, you know, one of the things I think here in America today with police, and I have tremendous respect for police, is we're going to come to a time, if this kind of thing continues, that we will not be able to get young men to join a police force anywhere. I think that that is something that I think we should start thinking about. I truly do.
Yeah, I think there's a balance to be struck here, because we don't want to, you know, completely give them all this power and have it turn into a police state, have the pendulum swing too far. But you're right. At the same time, if we restrict them and, forgive the pun, put handcuffs on them and they can't do their job, then we lose police protection, we lose safety, crime goes up. So there are unintended consequences to think about with these kinds of regulations and reforms. And I think the Obama administration jumped the gun on this, because the police department in Seattle, a liberal city, mind you, is saying this is not working. We can't have this. It's affecting our officers' ability to do our job. And, yeah, I think this is something that could hurt recruiting if it were to spread into other cities.
Nick, there's so much going on right now in Washington, D.C., that your head spins. For example, now we're hearing, and it's just developing over the last couple of days, Obamacare might be repealed. What's going on there?
Well, they're pushing a bill, the Graham-Cassidy bill, which takes Obamacare subsidies and basically turns them into block grants, trying to give the states more power and going with the federalism approach, trying to give the governors the ability to disperse funds as they see fit, as opposed to the federal government. It seems like they might have the 50 votes, but you had Rand Paul, libertarian Republican from Kentucky, coming out against the bill. I believe he's going to vote no. There are some people that are skeptical that this isn't repeal. A lot of people do look to Rand Paul for that yardstick, that measuring stick of, is it pure? Is it going to do what we need it to do? Is it going to gut Obamacare? I think it remains to be seen whether or not the bill's going to work. I think I'd like to see a little more detail in a repeal, but I think at this point for the GOP, something is better than nothing. And if you get the ball rolling, I think that's what the idea is. If you pass one thing, it makes it easier to go back and maybe continue to add more and more repeal bills. So I think it's going to pass. I think it's going to be a slim margin. It might even come down to a tiebreaker with Vice President Pence, but they seem very confident, and I'm more confident than they were in the past.
Nick Jeavis, media reporter for the Daily Caller, a frequent guest here with Dan and myself. You know, Nick, and I have said this to our radio audience, you know what I can't figure out? There are certain parts to Obamacare that would work, okay? You take those and then some of the other ideas, you put them all together and you come up with a good bill for the people, and we could do that. I guess what frustrates me and many other Americans too is that they can't agree on something like that because they just want to do away with Obamacare. Why can't you take the good parts out of several bills and get something good for the American people?
And you make a good point, and I think it goes back to the fact that they've had years of being out of the White House, in some cases the minority party, going from that to controlling both branches of Congress, or both the chambers of Congress, and yet they still don't have a working bill that most of the caucus can agree on, and I think that's the failing. They should have had bills ready to go. I mean, when they voted on these bills, knowing they would fail, knowing Obama would veto them, they had a lot of confidence then. They had the bill ready to go then. But now that their name is on it, now that it's going to a Republican president's desk, it could be signed, all of a sudden they're worried. And I think it's because holding on to power is more important to some of them than actually fixing the health care crisis and fixing the system. And that's betraying the voter. So, yes, I think that they need to get something passed because they failed at every turn. They failed on their promise. They failed on what got them elected. And, yeah, I think there are things you could take from Obamacare that are popular with the people, including the pre-existing condition aspect.
Absolutely. That's one of them.
He wouldn't. Yeah, he wouldn't sign the bill without it. So there are things that I think could work and been waiting to go. This should have been done literally years ago and been waiting to go. But again, politics.
That was always Trump's argument that the for 8 years, and that was always Trump's argument that the for 8 years Republicans claimed that they were ready to appeal Obamacare. Actually, then the GOP backed Republicans take over all branches of government, and the GOP backed Republicans take over all branches of government, and the GOP backpedals in the Congress, Nick.
Yeah, because they want to survive any close reelection calls. They don't want to be tagged as the heartless care. A lot of people on the right worried when this bill was passed, when they shoved Obamacare. A lot of people on the right worried when this bill was passed, when they shoved Obamacare down our throat, that it's always harder to take something away from the electorate.
Absolutely.
Once they have it, once it's being doled out for free, well, not much harder to take away. And the Democrats knew that. So that's why they rushed to pass it, get it enacted. So we're seeing the results of that. And like I said, I hope that they find the courage to stand up. And finally, for once,
a quick pause. Well, again, we got to just take a quick pause here. Have you on the program? We got some more traffic, Nick, but it's terrific to have you on the program. We'll get right to you, but first, we got to check that traffic. See how the bumper to bumper crowd's doing out first. We got to check that traffic. See how the bumper to bumper crowd's doing out there this morning. And here she is, Jenny. Good morning. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Brad. We do have some very 32 in Windsor, but the good news, exit 36 down to 32 in Windsor, but the good news is that incident earlier stall on Route 2 westbound approaching exit 5, 46, 84 eastbound, some slow traffic, exit 41 out to 46, 84 eastbound. Eastbound, some slow traffic, exit 41 out to 46 in the westbound side. That is heavy, exit 56 out to 47. This report is brought to you by Connecticut Toyota dealers with impressive performance, modern style, and available all-wheel drive. The 2017 Sienna is a minivan game changer. Toyota, let's go places. I'm Chanel Prisman, back at 8:34 with your next traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
And thank you, Janelle Crispin, who is with us doing traffic and does a great job. Say, you know, I have been talking about Catholic Cemetery Association for some time here, over a couple of months, and I've got something that I want to pass along that is very, very important, and it's all about prices. Now, prices have been stable for the past 5 years, but costs have continued to rise. So take advantage. I've got some information for you. I've had it for the past week. Advantage of current pricing now prior to 2018. That's when you're going to see a bump. And you can get educated, speak to a family advisor at Catholic Cemetery Association. You can sit and talk with them, and I've got a telephone number, and in the end, you'll be able to save some money. That's what I want to emphasize here this morning, and I did yesterday as well. 800-505-0080, complimentary consultation. Nobody puts any pressure on you, but you will get the best possible price, okay? And that is prior to 2018, so don't wait. And you can go to ccacem.org as well. Catholic Cemetery Association of the Archdiocese of Hartford, putting this together for you. 800-505-0080 and ccacem.org.
Brad, he's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair, and that is Nick Jeebus from The Daily Caller, dailycaller.com. And Nick, President Trump's speech at the United Nations certainly sent some people into a fit, particularly when he referred to the leader of North Korea as Rocket Man.
I mean, listen, Trump being Trump, right? This is what we wanted out of Trump. We wanted straight talk. We didn't want him to mince words. And after 8 years of Obama going on what amounted to an international apology tour, I think this is a breath of fresh air. When a lot of, you know, he not only did that, he knocked North Korea, he knocked Iran, he knocked socialism. I think the speech was just what the doctor ordered, and I think it resonated with voters, even if it didn't resonate with the media as much.
But, I mean, when he said, honest, I almost fell off the chair when he called him Rocket Man. I loved it.
It's great. Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't want to compare him completely to Ronald Reagan, but he has like Ronald Reagan on steroids. You know, he's got that humor. He knows how to get in front of a camera. He knows that people just want it delivered, you know, straight. They don't want the political BS, and that's what he did. And he got up at basically an organization that's known for standing on ceremony, known for making a big deal about everything, and he just delivered it on point. And it made them squirm, and I think finally he stood up for America and he hit back, and that's what the electorate wants. That's what they've
Absolutely.
Been clamoring for.
Absolutely.
Now, as you know, Nick, you've got the left out there, particularly the former Democrats, the Clinton people, the Obama people, the Madeleine Albrights. They're just saying that Trump's speech at the UN set the United States back years.
It triggered them. It really made them upset, and I don't think that's the case. I think, if anything, it was a show of strength. When you're dealing with madmen and chaos all around the world, the likes of which we as Americans can't even imagine, to apologize or to say, let's sit down and talk it out, you don't do that. I mean, with a tumor or a cancer, you don't talk to it, you don't massage it, you cut it out more often than not. And this is the tact he's taking. And again, this is why we elected him. If we wanted the diplomacy route, or he wanted stalling or payoffs or bribery, the people would have elected Hillary Clinton. She would have continued the Obama-era policy, but people knew that that was failing, and they knew it wasn't working, and this is what we get instead, and I think it's going to be a lot more effective.
Again, you know, when you think about America, when you think about telling the truth, when you think about if you have to get people upset, you get them upset, and boy, I'll tell you, the mainstream media, they have been after him night and day, Nick. It's just been unbelievable, and it doesn't seem to bother him.
No, and I don't think it should. And I track the media every day as my job. I'm a media reporter, and I make sure they're doing their job, and they're pulling their hair out over this constantly. They can't handle it. And it's funny, there's a pattern that seems with the mainstream media where they'll call Trump out, they'll call him, you know, horrendous, he's crazy, he's off his rocker, and then later they'll find that he had a perfectly good justification for doing what he did. And when they have that evidence, or he looks presidential, they kind of just gloss over it and move on. But no matter what he does, he's damned if he does, he's damned if he doesn't, and they're going to keep this up no matter what he says, so he might as well be himself.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Nick, you bring up a great point, because Trump, when he tweeted out that he had been wiretapped by the Obama administration, and there were people out there, including CNN, which said he was crazy, and then CNN breaks the story earlier this week that, in fact, Trump's campaign was wiretapped. Manafort was wiretapped, and now you've got Clapper out there saying, according to a story on your website, it's possible possible that Manafort actually picked up Trump talking in this wiretap?
It's a yes, and this is the point I was making before, and you highlighted that he says things off the cuff, you know, on the spot. He's trying to be honest and give his take on things, and the media jumps on him. And even when evidence comes out, they run it on CNN, but they don't beat it to death. They beat it to death when they think they're right, or they think they have a story that's going to nail Trump. Then they'll harp on it for days and days. But when it comes to something that, you know, makes them look bad or shows that, oh, you know, Trump actually was right about that, it gets a day of coverage and it's gone. So, yeah, they had to admit it, and at least they're still admitting it. I think we're going to move into a phase where they just completely stop reporting anything positive about him, probably after the midterms, especially if the GOP wins. But, yeah, this is their pattern. I think they still think they're in a nightmare. They're hoping to wake up, and when they don't wake up from the nightmare, they just start losing it, and accuracy goes out the window.
Boy, what a comparison that is. But, you know, Nick, the thing here is that, you know, when you talk to people, there are some people that, oh, my God, they do think he's crazy. They don't like him. But then you talk to others, and they are so loyal, and it's like he's talking for them. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, a man of the people in the truest sense of the word, which is ironic because he's a successful billionaire. He's a businessman. You would think he'd be up in the stratosphere, you know, living it up. But no, he's up early. He's working hard. He doesn't imbibe in alcohol or drugs. You know, he's very, or never has in the past, even before he was elected. I mean, this is someone who seems to really care about what happens to the country. And that resonates with people who are worried about their jobs, their livelihood, their economic security, and on top of that, they aren't able to speak their minds. I think they're tired of PC, they're tired of the fear, and he comes in and he makes it okay to just say what you're thinking, and I think it's time that we all get behind that, because I think everybody wins.
It's called the truth, I believe, Nick.
That's one word for it, but unfortunately, I don't think the media would agree.
No, it's really wild what's unfolding, and it certainly has changed the dynamic. I think another interesting facet to this whole story is you see the media a lot. Anytime Trump makes some kind of a decision that might hurt his base, come out there rooting for the base to beginning to diminish, and then we see these polls, and Trump hasn't lost anything among his base.
Yeah, the base is going to remain strong because he's keeping true to his word and his promise to push through those things that got him elected. And the media, I think they'll use anything they can to try to show that his support is waning, that it's cracking. They did it before. I mean, when they pushed poll numbers saying Hillary Clinton had a 90% chance of winning the presidential election in a landslide, it wasn't true. So why should we believe what they're putting out now when they couldn't even get it right before he became
president? You're right. It was 90%. That's what they were saying.
Yeah, higher in some cases. Some people had it at 95, 99. They were coloring the entire map blue, including Texas, Georgia. I mean, they will push this narrative until it's true because they have no other option. If they can't make it true, then finally, they're not just seen as missing one election. They're seen as liars. And so there's a lot on the line for both sides here. But like we said, hopefully the truth will win the day.
Hey, Nick, great job as always. Thanks very much for spending some time with us this morning.
We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me, fellas. Always a good time.
Take care.
He's a terrific reporter.
Nick Jeavis, he sure is.
Really
Boy,
is.
We're going to find out about Hurricane Maria, Brad. We're going to talk to Brad Field after the news.
Thank God.
And my goodness, what's going on in Puerto Rico is just awful.
I can't believe the report, though, that no electricity for a year.
Could be a year.
Could be a year.
Now, that's not the entire island.
No.
Portions of it could be without electricity for a year. That's how devastating Maria was.
Well, we're going to have a direct report, and Brad will be with us, one of the best in the business. He just retired.